Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, and I'm in Long Beach, California this weekend. However, we are taping the show that's airing today because of our travel schedule, traveling out there to the left coast from Orlando, our home base of operations, and then we had to head to Cuba. So the next couple weeks, we're going to have to delay the broadcast a week. However, if you're in California this weekend, make sure you make it out to the Scuba Show. It's going on today and tomorrow, and you'll hear all about it. If you didn't make it, about this huge event going out, going on in Long Beach next week as we air a special broadcast when we're talking to all our California friends. So plan accordingly. And then 2 weeks from today, it'll be our show from Cuba. So two really great shows coming up. But fear not, we have a full slate of fun diving-related stuff to share with you today. And we're going to kick it off with our good friend, our South Florida diving correspondent, Phil Narcosis, is on Scuba Radio. How are you, Phil?
How's it going? I'm just finishing up my logbook here.
Yeah?
And just finishing up from after a great day yesterday. It was the Memorial holiday, and it was a wonderful, beautiful day that we spent here diving, drift diving, on the reef here, right off of the Palm Beach Inlet.
Yeah, the drift dive capital of the world, Palm Beach, California.
And you know what?
Florida.
Yeah, it was a southern current. Hmm. And, you know, when we talk about visibility, we like to say if it's like 30, we call it the dirty 30, not so good.
Yeah.
But then we got the fuzzy 40.
The fuzzy 40.
And it was actually, so we had the fuzzy 40 yesterday, which, you know, once I like to hover pretty close to my subjects, the hard and soft coral and then everything that's living in there. I get pretty close. So if I'm in the fuzzy 40, you know, I'm doing pretty good. It was a very slow southern current.
Okay, well, let me make sure I understand this. Are you saying when the current flows from the south and Palm Beach and West Palm
to
Beach?
To the south.
Or to the south.
To the south.
That the visibility has a tendency to go down?
Yes, because of the trade winds or the trade current.
Yeah.
The 90% of the time the current here in Florida runs north.
Okay.
And then it also coincidentally, I was in Cozumel last week and we'll talk about that. That's also a northern current. And so if it's going nice and north and it's strong and it's brisk and it's just you're kind of like moving along on the racetrack, that usually means you're going to be 50, 60, 70 here in South Florida. So we had the fuzzy 40 yesterday, which wasn't so bad after all.
Okay, so it's pulling up all that stuff from like Miami and mucking up things. I don't know. Well, who knows where it's coming from, but I learned something. I didn't know that the current direction affected the visibility like that, but now I do. But it didn't affect what you saw. And sometimes when the visibility is down like that, the critters come out. Is that what happened Memorial Day weekend for you or what?
Yeah, you know what it was? Our first dive site was is called Shark Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
And just like the name implies, it's actually between the Jupiter Inlet and the Palm Beach Inlet. So we went north. And Shark Canyon is a nice reef. And we counted six different reef sharks, big and small, and one nurse. And you have to understand, it's also turtle season here.
Yeah.
So we've got an abundance of turtles, and I saw some eels, and the hard and soft corals are looking pretty good. I mean, I've been traveling around. Obviously, you know that, and I guess I got hometown bias, but I'll always come back to it. It's just great scuba diving here. The issue here is over 50% of the time in the winter, the weather's not good enough for diving, so it's kind of hard to plan if you're a tourist. You know, if you schedule a trip to come here in February, you might not go diving.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, during the winter months is when the wind has a tendency to be more unpredictable. And so one day might be great. Next day, a front comes through. And it might be sunny, but it'll be blowing too much. And maybe it's, changing the current
But starting right now. Starting right now, it's pretty predictable. I got my 3 mil back out.
Yeah.
And we had 80 degrees of water temp, and like I said, the fuzzy 40, and we did a two-tank dive and made some friends on the surface interval. I mean, that's what we love about boat diving, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a social sport. You're hanging out with your diving friends. Now the visibility, you say you saw all these critters, so the sharks that were in, what do you call it, Shark Alley? No, wait, Shark Canyon?
Yeah, yeah,
what?
Shark Canyon.
Shark
was
Canyon.
The first one. And then the second one is called the the Juno Ledge.
Okay,
all right. The Juno Ledge. These are all in the 80s, and I'll tell you what, if you're doing 80s, like 85, 87 in the sand, you feel it. Even on Nitrox, I was tired. I didn't get out of bed all day after the dives. I binge watched that Netflix show called Narcos about the drug kingpin. What's his name?
Escobar? No.
Escobar, yeah. Pablo Escobar.
Right.
I just laid after two tank dive at 80s and 80s and 90s reef. I just laid there. I could hardly move. Even
no, wait a minute. Hold on.
Nitrox.
You're in Palm Beach, the drift diving capital of the world. You don't have to even do anything on these dives, Phil.
Come on. Well, my point is that when you're doing 50s, 50s and 60s from a, nitrogen standpoint, off-gassing point of view, there's a lot less fatigue on the body, at least for this old man.
Yeah, I gotcha. Well, that is one of the things they say, that your tissues get saturated with nitrogen, and we know about this because of our diving stuff, and we have to plan accordingly and decompress. However, one of the theories is that when your tissues saturate with nitrogen, they have a tendency to give you a washed out type of feeling, like you've worked out and you need to chill and that kind of
thing. I was feeling it.
But I thought there's been research that said that's a bunch of bunk and that's all mind games.
I got to tell you something.
Yeah.
An ounce of experience is worth more than a ton of theories.
Okay.
So you can give me all the research and all the pronouncement from these experts, and all I know is how I felt versus when I do, 50s and 60s. And, last week I was in Cozumel, and by the way, one of the things I learned from one of the dive guides was he on repetitive dives, he does his 3 minute safety stop, but then he does 2 minutes at 10 feet, which if you take a tech class, that's when you off gas the most at 10 feet. And I think the reason why Patty doesn't teach 10 feet is it's, people in their peak buoyancy and maybe not having such good buoyancy. It's hard to keep 10 feet.
True. Yeah.
But on the second dive, I actually, it's great to pick up things from other good divers.
Yeah.
And from my trip last week, watching him do that over and over again, I started to, on my second dive, I hung out for an extra 2 minutes at 10 feet.
No, it never can hurt. It can
and
hurt.
It gave me peace
sure.
of mind.
Yeah.
Plus, it gave me a little more bottom time. I was the last on the boat.
Well, now, were you diving Nitrox in Palm Beach or Cozumel or both or no?
Yeah, yeah. The shop I use out here, here in Riviera Beach, Force E, where the house mix is 34%. And that's pretty standard in South Florida, 34 and then maybe 32.
Well,
and
you shouldn't be getting that washed out feeling anyways if you're diving Nitrox.
Maybe it was the... maybe it was the fine wine I had the night before.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Okay, now the truth comes out. Exactly. Yeah, because something doesn't sound quite right to me on that. But, and like I said, some of it can be psychological. But one of the reasons that, we dive this Nitrox is that it limits the amount of nitrogen that you would absorb and your tissue. So in theory, you would have less nitrogen in your tissues that would make you feel less washed out. So people have this feeling that if they dive nitrox, they actually feel better because they're breathing more oxygen instead of nitrogen, that which can refresh the cells or whatever, if you want to get into that whole psychobabble nonsense. But I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence with it. Hey, if you feel it works for you, great. Regardless, you know, if you're diving deeper, you're definitely going to get more bottom time just working with the, you know, tables and dive computers and things like that. So I'm a big fan of the nitrox. When it's available, I dive it. And I assume that's the case for you, too. If you feel better after it, that's better after diving it. That's just icing on the cake. You're with me on this then?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. All right. So yeah, let's, if you want to, we can talk about Cozumel.
Yes, let's do that. Let's take a break first. Phil Narcosis, our South Florida diving correspondent, has been diving around the world, and I figured this would be a good show to catch up with our buddy Phil, being that we're about to hit the road and can't talk to him for a couple weeks. So we'll do that and talk about much more next, right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com. But it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Divers in the Know Dive with Dan. Divers Alert Network. DAN is the industry's largest association dedicated to scuba diving safety and has served divers for over 30 years. DAN provides emergency assistance, medical information, educational opportunities, trip insurance, and more. Whether you're just learning scuba or a veteran, a DAN membership just makes good sense. Sign up and take advantage of the many benefits DAN offers by going to dan.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Yo, that was crazy, right? Who knew? I mean, everything's set. It's a lock. We good to go. We in the money. And he trips underwater. Who in the hell of it trips underwater?
Shouldn't even be here. Shouldn't be here at all. Beneath the waterline, I can see it all. Dive into the alienation, drift into the fascination. Jump right in the water spine and see what's on the wall. Here
is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. That is Phil Narcosis, his song Inner Space, that he did, I don't know, a year or two ago. Awesome tune. has a little, you know, he sings, plays guitar. He does everything on that song. He's like a Prince type of musician.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but he's multi-talented, and he's a diver. So God bless him for that. And he
went to Cozumel.
So you were over there, and how long were you in Cozumel doing some diving there, Phil?
We spent a full, I had six days of diving in Cozumel in Mexico.
Okay.
And Miami has direct flights now there. So in an hour and 20 minutes, you're there. So it's like, it's super easy. So
nice.
Wherever you live in the country, you just transfer into Miami and then... and then away you go. But
now they have
a lot of all inclusive
type places there. Were you doing one of those, or did you?
I was at a resort called Casa del Mar. But they don't obligate you. You can they have a pier, and it's kind of an interesting setup there in Cozumel. They've got many dive shops, and they go around to the hotels, which are on the water, which all have piers. And it's kind of like a milk run. They go and they pick up divers at each of the hotels, which or cruise shippers, which is a phenomenon I don't really like.
Yeah.
So where we were, there was a group of us from West Palm, and so we basically filled a boat, so we didn't get involved in going around and picking up other divers.
Mm-hmm. I never thought of that as a milk milk run,
yeah.
But okay,
yeah.
I think I see what you mean. But
yeah,
but you were separated yourself from the cruise shippers, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yes.
I haven't had
luck
with those folks. They have a tendency to be more on the beginner side of things. But, you know, hey, if you're out there on a cruise and you can do some diving and you're an experienced diver, it's one way to do it, I guess. But, yeah.
Yeah.
If you got a little bit more time to do it like Phil, go to an all-inclusive resort, have a chance to kind of settle in a little bit more and hang out there. So did you guys go out like once a day or twice a day or what?
Well, yes. Yeah, so it was with a group, and there were some older folks. The package only included two tank morning dives.
Right.
But me, having been there before, I was able to call up one of the shops that I remembered, and they picked us up in the afternoon. And I was fortunate to dive on steel 120 nitrox tanks. Steel 120s. Those are big boys.
Hey, heck yeah.
And
you
talk about bottom time.
Yeah, I'm hip. I mean, how deep were you diving there in Cozumel?
It varied. Actually, the averages were pretty low. I'm looking through my logbook now. They were in my average depth was in the 40s.
Yeah, okay.
And
so you got a lot of bottom time.
Yeah. Got a lot of bottom time. Yeah. 66 minutes here. I have 61 minutes, 70 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was really great. Cozumel is a protected marine park. That's the good news.
Yeah. What's the name of the park?
I don't speak Spanish.
Oh, okay.
And they love the gringos, but they don't like Donald Trump, I'll tell you that.
Don't bring up politics in Cozumel or anywhere else.
I waited to the last day for the dive master. I said, you know, because we, you know how as the week goes on, you become friends with these people.
Sure.
And that's what we love about boat diving is the making new friends and the camaraderie and the fellowship. So the last day I decided to go there because I'm, you know, I can be a little bit of a push the envelope kind
of
guy.
Yeah, what do you do? Can we go dive the wall today?
I said, can you just imagine the wall from here? I think you can almost be able to see the wall, he said. And then I said, well, what do you think about Donald Trump? And he said, he shook his head. He said, amigo, Donald Trump should never set foot in Cozumel. And so we knew what he was taught. We knew what he meant. And we kind of then we started talking about our computers and
you're like, go Hillary.
The benefits and we started talking and we switched it right back to diving pretty quickly.
Yes, but, probably a good plan. I don't know. I meant the wall, you know, the wall that we're going to go dive. That's what.
Yeah, the wall, the diving wall, not
exactly.
The wall that he wants to build.
Right.
So it is a protected marine park over there. That's the good news. The bad news.
Isn't it like Palancar Reef or something like that?
Palancar is one of the main areas, and within Palancar Reef, there's like Palancar Wall, Palancar Reef,
yeah.
Palancar this, Palancar that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is a protected marine park, but 2 or 3 miles out, you see all the big commercial fishing boats. So I'm here to tell you, sadly, I did not see one shark. I saw one nurse shark, and I did not see one shark the entire week. And that, you know, when you see a reef that has all of the marine life, including big animals, you know, that's by and large a healthy reef.
Right.
And while it was great diving, and by the way, it was also drift diving with a North Current, which was fantastic, which is, you know, right in my wheelhouse, which is the kind of diving we do here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was a little disappointed. It wasn't as fishy, just like I've been on the show before talking about other places in the water column in the Caribbean, and it kind of is a similar situation. But what I can't figure out is, and those of us from West Palm who were diving there for the trip, we felt that Florida waters right here, where I'm looking outside of my window here and can see the water, it's fishier here than it is in Cozumel, Mexico. And why could that? Why is that? Because we're not even a, we don't even have a protected marine park.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's so many factors at play. I mean,
there's so many factors.
Overfished, that definitely could be a possibility. Could it be a pollution issue? Who knows? Could it just be the wind and the weather and, you know, there's somewhere else?
Just migrations. Animal migrations.
You just don't know.
We don't even know.
Right.
Okay.
So, but it's never good to hear reports that you don't see, you know, sharks and things like that.
One thing really nice I have here, I'm looking at my logbook. Every visibility, every dive in the visibility, except for the night dive, I have 100 plus, I have 150 plus. One dive here, I have 200 with a question mark. Like, where does it end, right? It's so good.
Yeah, nice. So. What about the currents, though? Cozumel has a reputation for having some unpredictable type currents, like not just, you know, horizontal, but up and down. Did you encounter anything like that or no?
No, but we had heard that in the north, they have some very tricky waters.
Unpredictable currents,
Experienced divers only.
Right.
And you can get some down currents and some up currents, so we didn't go there.
Okay. Phil Narcosis, our reporter from South Florida, with us right now. We got more with him next. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master. Hey, Scuba Radio's Drunken Sailor is rumored to be making another appearance after last week's debacle. He found some more stuff in the closet that we found him passed out under last week and has threatened to report back on today's show. So I don't know where this is going to go, but you've been warned, okay? Phil Narcosis, however, is with us right now. And, Phil, you went to Cozumel. You've been doing some diving in West Palm Beach, your home base of operations. Sounds like you've been having a blast. Where are you off to next, man?
I will be off to Cocos Island in Costa Rica.
Okay.
And we, you know that where that is, right? It's a UNESCO, United Nations Heritage Site.
Costa Rica, I just think of Jurassic Park because the Cocos Island was the island they used to film, you know, where the dinosaurs live. So I've never been, but I wanted to go. And so,
well, it takes like 2 days to get there by
boat. Yeah.
And so you can only do live aboard there. Mm-hmm. And it's like a 9-day trip because it's, you know, 2 days each way.
You shouldn't have any problem seeing sharks there, though, because
it's going to be like shark, what they call shark wallpaper.
Right.
You know, just sharks everywhere, just like arranged like a wallpaper pattern, mm-hmm. or maybe even more denser than that.
Yeah, I've seen crazy videos in Cocos of the sharks that just blanket the bottom of the ocean, swim along the bottom. They look like a moving carpet or something. They're like, hey, wait a minute, those are sharks. Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, I bet you're in for quite an adventure down there in Cocos. And you're doing that in September, you said.
Yeah, in September, definitely looking for some adrenaline-type diving. I hear it's, you know, kind of challenging. Now, I know that there are currents there. Have you been there?
I have not been there yet.
No.
Like I said, it's on my list, and I've seen a lot of video Stan Waterman, the man who loves sharks, he did a really great special for TV years ago that was filmed in Cocos Island that still is spectacular. Mm-hmm. You can probably Google it. I bet it's up there on YouTube somewhere now. But Stan Waterman, the man who loves sharks.
Stan Waterman?
Yeah, and you can check that out.
I think my video is going to be better.
Okay. Well, he's setting the bar pretty high. He wants to be compared to Stan the man, but that's okay. All right, Phil. Well, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
You got it, Greg. We'll talk again soon.
All right. And we got more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Hey, this is Jerry the Diver Guy coming at you live from the Smoky Mountains in Tennessee, and you're listening to Scuba Radio. Oh, look, it's Dolly Parton. No, that's just Greg the Dive Master.
Rocky Top, Tennessee.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Yeah, Jerry is out there, you know, he's probably sipping on some moonshine. I mean, spring water. Yeah, that's what he's doing. Kicking back and enjoying the show today. We'll catch up with him here in a couple weeks on the big show. But in the meantime, we have someone else from, West Virginia. Am I right? It's West Virginia, where Eric Douglas, the man of the hour, is with us right now. Eric, how are you, buddy?
I'm impressed. You finally got that one right.
Well, I was like, it was 50-50.
So, fair enough.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's my question is, Jerry's from Virginia. What's he doing in Tennessee?
Well, he was he spent some family time, Memorial Day weekend, there at Dollywood. And ran into, you know, Miss Parton and scaled those mountains.
I hope he didn't hurt her.
I think he was probably escorted off the grounds, but, you know, it's just a typical weekend for Jerry, right?
Enough of that Virginia spring water. It's amazing
exactly
what you can end up doing.
True. True. However, yeah, let's focus on you, because you've been very busy, you know, since, you know, your big surgery a few months ago. Now, for those folks not familiar, Eric had an incident that created a story where situation where they had to crack open his chest cavity, do a little work on his valves and his heart and stuff, and I don't know, five-way later.
For the record, there was no valve work done.
Okay.
But there was plumbing for the heart, yeah.
There you go.
No, ended up having a quintuple bypass, five bypass, mm-hmm, of the coronary arteries. It was exactly 4 months ago, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
Or four months ago, as of just a couple days ago now.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's been an interesting road back. But honestly, I'm feeling better than I've felt in a long, long time, and doing good. As a matter of fact, I just finished up, just a couple days ago, finished up my last cardiac rehab. So for the last 12 straight weeks, I've been going through cardiac rehab, which is basically exercising while being monitored. So, they put a 3-lead heart monitor on me and exercise. So they can make sure that my heart's not doing anything funky while I'm exercising.
Right, while you're stressing and pushing yourself to the limit, make sure that blood's flowing properly and that kind of thing, so they can monitor it as it happens. So, what, are they putting you on a treadmill or something, or what? Or bike?
I actually did four different exercises. We do four different exercises just for like 8 minutes each, mm-hmm, but they really want you to push it up to your target heart rate, which is about 80% of your maximum heart rate.
Yeah.
And I was doing the rower. I was doing on a fan bike, then the treadmill, and then a recumbent bike. So they had me doing a little bit of everything, just, you know, some with my arms and legs, some with just my legs, whatever. But it was good. The really nice thing about it and the comforting thing about it was being able to feel exactly what my, you know, what my target heart rate was supposed to feel like. I, you know, I and frankly, I got stronger, obviously, as it went on. But, mm-hmm, I could feel, I could tell, okay, I'm, without even checking my Fitbit on my wrist, I could tell, okay, I'm about where I'm supposed to be. And, you know, so I got to learn it pretty well.
Yeah.
And that gives me a lot of confidence now that I'm on my own. You know, once you're done with cardiac rehab, you still have to keep exercising. You still have to take care of the heart. And it really has given me a lot of confidence to go out now and run on the treadmill or on the streets or on my bike or do whatever and go, okay, this is where I'm supposed to be. I'm pushing it to the level I'm supposed to be at.
Right. If you feel this way, you know, you don't feel like you're going to die. You know,
exactly.
You know that, like, okay, it's okay to be winded and panting heavy and it's thumping and working the way it should. And you know you can get to that level safely. So, yeah, and I would imagine these Fitbits and things really have come a long way at helping in this type of rehab, I'm guessing. Am I right?
You know, it's funny. Almost everybody in rehab, by the time they're done with rehab, has a Fitbit, you know, with the heart rate monitor, whatever. Or, you know, and it's not just Fitbit. Obviously, that's a specific brand. But I actually had one. I had a Fitbit before my surgery. But it wasn't the heart rate monitor. So literally the week after I got home from the hospital, I upgraded. I went back and got the heart rate monitor so I could keep an eye on my heart rate whenever I, you know, at any given time. All I have to do is tap it and I know exactly what my heart's doing. And so that was a real comfort for me as well. That made me feel confident that I was doing exactly what I needed to be as well.
Well, it was good. And you know, the reason we're talking about this is that, you know, Eric Douglas, he literally wrote the book on diving safety and this massive
book.
Well, one of the big ones for sure.
Right.
And I mean, and you know, he went above and beyond the call of duty to drill home why physical fitness and diving go hand in hand when this life incident ended up, you know, kind of overtaking his life there for a while. And, you know, thank God it worked out okay. But now you are on a mission to educate everybody to know what the signals are that you could be having a problem. But now you're actually documenting the recovery. Like, who would have thought 4 months later you're almost ready and almost cleared to go scuba diving again? Am I right, Eric, or what?
That's my next step is, yeah. So what I mean, I knew before I was out of the hospital back in back at the end of January, 1st of February, that I knew I was going to write about this. I knew I was going to talk about this. And I was fortunate. My friends at Scuba Diving Magazine have been really supportive. I sent them an email literally before I left the hospital and said, hey, guys, what do you think about this? And they were all about it. They loved the idea. And so we've published three installments now on the website. It's not in the magazine, just online. But of me basically going through what the process has been. The first one was about me recognizing or finding out that I had heart disease. The second one was the first month home during recovery. Then the third one was all about rehab. Now the next steps, and you can find those on the scubadiving.com website, but the next step is to keep training and with a real focused goal in mind of getting back to diving. I probably in the next day or two I'll call my cardiologist and schedule another stress test because he's going to want to do that before he'll sign off on that medical form that we all know and love about me heading back to diving. But yeah, that's my goal, and I'm hopeful. Actually, my birthday is at the end of July.
Excuse me,
and I'm hopeful by my 49th birthday, I'll be certified and ready to get back into the water.
Yeah, and you know that also corresponds with Bug Fest, Florida Spiny Lobster mini season there last Wednesday, Thursday of July. We're planning to try to get Eric down there for the event as well. Do a little, you know, combo thing.
That first trip back to the water, I'm going to be ready to hunt bugs, but I'll be happy to eat the ones that you find.
Well, you can help me be a spotter. You can be my spotter. You know,
I can do that.
I'll be the lobster slayer, and you can be my trusty sidekick, Bug Boy. I already have a Bug Boy. We need to come up with another superhero name. You have to have like X-ray vision or some kind of superpower underwater to kind of spot lobsters. You know what I'm saying? Maybe something like that.
I will do my best.
So, yeah, you probably wouldn't want to overtask yourself by trying to catch lobsters. But I don't know, will the cardiologist or your doctor guy give you the green light to eat them?
I'm sure, but probably I'll have to use light butter or something.
You know, yeah,
you know how
true.
The doctors are.
Margarine or something. Get some kind of special replacement there.
Olive oil.
Yeah, olive oil. Come up with a new recipe. Yeah, butter's hard to eliminate when it comes to catching and eating lobsters. Yeah, absolutely. I usually just take down a big tub with me underwater, but that's a problem I have. But that'll be a nice little goal to have. So the series, though, with Scuba Diving Magazine, you've done three so far, and the third one just recently came out, like last week.
Third,
is that right?
Yeah, the third one came out just last week, and it's as I'm wrapping up. Rehab, and actually one of the things I wanted to, it's one of the things I learned during rehab, but something I wanted to kind of talk about with you and your listeners is, you know, we've all heard the BMI scales and overweight and obese and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to, it's hard to get your head around it, and it's, you know, I don't know about you, but I look at a BMI scale, and it tells me I'm supposed to weigh what I did when I graduated high school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all know that's not going to happen.
Right.
But one thing that I learned that's really important and pretty easy, I talk about this in the third installment, is if for a man, if your waist measurement is above 40 inches, then you're actually at a greater risk. The scientists have boiled down all the numbers.
Wow. Okay. Well, I didn't know that. And we'll talk more about this next right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their live-aboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at exploreventures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Do you have the desire to become an aquatic role model? Do you have the passion to expand not just your lungs, but your core understanding of the underwater realm? Then learn to inspire and train others in the art of freediving and become a PADI freediver instructor. Experienced freediver's can gain instructional skills by attending a PADI freediver instructor training course. Current freediver instructors can join the PADI organization by attending a PADI freediver instructor orientation. Do more in a single breath and reach limits you never thought possible. Visit PADI.com to find out more.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive.
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Hey, come on in. Water's fine.
Give me good water. Give me good water.
Yeah, that comes in handy when we're scuba diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Eric Douglas is my guest right now. Now, Eric had a five-way bypass, had some heart issues there about 4 months ago, but he's well on his way back to the water, and that's a good thing. It'll be nice to have him back. Hopefully, by the end of July, we'll be diving together, and hanging. But you've been learning a lot about this whole thing, you know, like if you're not taking care of yourself, BMI index or, you know, body mass index, I believe is what it stands for, right?
That's what it stands for, right?
Yeah. You know, the other rule I've heard, other than the 40-inch waist rule, if you're a guy and you have a waist over 40, you're asking for trouble. That's just a big general number, but yeah, that's pretty big. And if you're pushing that far, you probably got some issues, I'm guessing. But the other one is the pinch check. Did they do that one to you, where if they can pinch like an inch or two or inch or bigger of blubber around the midsection there, you might want to do something about that? Is that right?
No, we didn't get into that. But one of the things, the first thing they did with us when I started rehab was just take out a simple tape measure and measure my waist, and, mm-hmm. and they do it for everybody, you know. To complete it, it's 35 inches or above for women. So uh-huh. if a woman has a 35 inch waist or above, but one thing to remember though, especially for men, your waist is not your belt.
I'm in trouble.
men wear their pants a little below their belly button.
Yeah, right.
The waist, your true waist is actually above your belly button.
Ah, okay. Now we're really screwed.
Oh, and now you're really screwed. I didn't realize any of this, but it's a real indicator, and it doesn't mean you're going to die tomorrow, but mm. what it means is A, you need to lose some weight and get that in shape, and B, you're at risk, so you know, you need to start making some changes and working on it. But I thought that was a great simple way to say, you know, here's a tape measure. If you're above a 40, then it's time to make some changes in your life. And if you're below it, well, you're probably okay, or you know, you can relax a little bit. But of course, if you've got all the other family the family history, or you're a smoker or that sort of thing, all the other risk factors, then you might need to still make some changes.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as far as the weight thing, whether it's 40 inches or 35 for women, I mean, I think most people know if they're heavier than they probably should be. You can look at the mirror when you're naked and you're like, oh, God, help me. You know, that kind
of
thing.
Yeah, but you know how easy it is to deny that, too? And I'm a perfect example of it, Greg. I was, up until the moment I failed the stress test, I was thinking that my problem was probably just indigestion, and I knew I wasn't in the best of shape, but, oh, you know, I'm okay. Mm-hmm. It's all right. You know, it's amazing how you can justify that stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Well, true. Yeah, I mean, no matter what you know your current situation is, just get out there and do something, though. Make sure you're
absolutely
exercising.
Just move. Get some exercise.
Yeah, the cardio element of just walking a couple miles a day, if you can. And, you know, that Fitbit type thing is pretty handy in tracking those type of deals now. So
it's been invaluable for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you can kind of just monitor your progress just if you're walking around the office, and then you'll see, hey, I put in 1,000 steps today or 2,000 steps. Mm-hmm. Day, next thing you know, you can kind of build on that. So all that stuff kind of adds up. But you just need to be aware of it and, you know, not to get into a situation where you end up justifying, you know, that full rack of ribs, you know,
yeah,
every other week or something, every other day or whatever the case may be. Next thing you know, yeah.
Cookies are my downfall, to be honest with you.
Cookies? Yeah, they are the devil's candy. Absolutely. I hear you. But it's good to know, you know, that you're on the mend and that, you know, this life-changing event looks like it's changing it for the better. I've seen the pictures on Facebook. You're looking quite svelte, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Actually, one of the things that they told me when I finished up rehab was I had lost actually 5 inches off my waist.
Ooh.
So, you know, I'm feeling good.
You're going to need to get a new wetsuit, man.
Well, actually, just the old one I have will probably fit better now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. This is what it was supposed to feel like. I can actually breathe. Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. But as far as, you know, where you want to go, I mean, are you looking for any other goals other than just diving? New places you want to, you know, want to visit as a diver once you get the green light from your physician or what?
You know, I tell you what, I haven't really gotten that far, although Right now, I'm working on both a novella, a Mike Scott novella, so a short story, and the next new novel. And the novella is actually set in Curacao. And I haven't been down there in 5 or 6 years. But maybe back to the ABC Islands. That would be a good place to hop off to next. And the next novel, next full-length novel, I'm planning to have it in out and around November. It's going to be set in the Florida Keys. And you know what? I've been all over the place, but I still get a thrill out of going to the Keys and diving. It's some of the most beautiful diving, and you can drive there if it's within reason, or you know, a quick plane ride and you're in the Keys. And,
sure.
That's still one of my favorite places to dive.
Well, I agree. And we need to go down there together and visit Withrow Key. We'll just pick one and call it that. How about that?
We'll just call it that.
That's his fictional novella series, which, by the way, he wrote Lionfish and incorporated some of our scuba radio crew into it. So who knows?
One of the great things about writing fiction is you can just make stuff up when you need it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And now you know where he gets all his inspiration. So in his next novella, Mike Scott has a heart attack or something. I hope not.
Probably not, but okay. We'll see.
He pulls a few elements from real life, and that makes it just that much more of an enjoyable read. Booksbyeric.com. Check it out there, and make sure you follow up on his series on his recovery at scubadiving.com. All right, Eric. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it, my friend.
Thank you, Greg.
Coming up in hour two, you've been warned, Scuba Radio's Drunken Sailor has threatened to make an appearance, so join us at your own risk.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know, what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.